Welcome back to your Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan, here with Jeremy.
How's everybody doing today?
That was Broken Patterns by We Will Rot off their new EP, The Decay of a Failed Creation. We have Trevor and Aaron from the band, who are the two newest members of the band, if I remember that right. And these guys have been a band longer than I realized. Like, we'll get into that in the interview, but fucking
an awesome story, man. Yeah. It's an awesome story. Cool really story. Surprised me.
Really cool guys. If you're into the band, like very early, like Trustkill Records sound, and we get into that too. But without giving too much away, I mean, Jeremy, unless you have anything else, we'll jump into talking with them.
Oh, man, let's get into it.
And as always, shop Blast Beats Vinyl. Use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first order. The link for that is in our episode description. And check them out on Instagram. Follow them. New stuff there weekly. So enjoy the interview. So Aaron and Trevor, thanks for jumping on the show. We appreciate it, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks Good. For having
yeah.
us.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
You guys said this is your first podcast, yeah?
Yeah. For me, it is, yeah.
I did one with my boy. Actually, me and the drummer of this band did one before.
I seen the, I think there was like a reaction video of somebody reacting to the EP. That was a post on you guys' Instagram.
Shit, I missed that.
Oh.
It was the heavy metal, heavy dad thing.
Oh, yeah. You told me about it, but I missed it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No, I gotta.
I thought I sent it to you.
You probably did, and I didn't watch it, and I apologize. But go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That one was kind of a surprise to us. We kind of just, like, you know, logged in one day, and it popped up. And yeah. we thought they were from Michigan, because they, like, if you look in their background, there's a ton of, like, Michigan band posters, and they're straight up from Florida.
Yeah, I seen that, because I was looking at their page, like, the other day, and I thought they were from Michigan, too, so I was trying to figure out from where, because I noticed the posters, and then, like, some of the bands they were talking about, I was like, these dudes got to be from Michigan.
Right. I'm going to have to check that out, man.
They just must know some Michigan hardcore stuff or punk rock stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Total surprise, though. Like, we just woke up one day with that, you know, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it was quickly, too, like, I think that was, so we did, when we released it, we did like a week early on Bandcamp only. And I think that podcast came out before we even put it on like Spotify and everything. So they must know somebody here or something.
You got a mole somewhere in your fucking operation.
Well, did you guys were you recording the EP on a label?
No, no.
I was going to say, it looked self-released. Like, it says, like, the credits say your band name, so I figured it was self-released. I wonder how they got it beforehand.
Right.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is, I don't know, maybe they... Do people still rip music or something nowadays? Or maybe... We may have had it on, like, available to download on Bandcamp. And,
yeah.
I kind of forget we have that.
I might still rip things.
I haven't ripped anything in a long time.
That's how I like discovered a lot of music was going to blog spots and then just downloading stuff on Mediafire or ripping it off MySpace.
Yeah.
Right. I used to use SoulSeek.
I used LimeWire.
Oh yeah.
Napster, guys.
Yeah.
Napster and
Metallica.
Kazaa was another one.
I remember using, there was one that had like a bear for a logo. Kazaa?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's the one. That was like the first one before like LimeWire and FrostWire.
Yep.
Yeah, that's funny. This brings me to a random story, but Jeremy burnt a CD for me a while ago, and I gave it to my kid after I was done with it. And I was like, here, you can have this CD. It's burnt, though. And he's like, well, why are you giving it to me then? And I was like, no, it's like it's just a blank CD that was recorded. He's like, oh, I thought it was like burnt.
He just didn't know the terminology.
Man, I used to have so many, like just burning copies for myself and then writing my own like mix names on there.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Your own little playlists on a disc.
Make the whole album and just track for track it. I did that a lot too. Print out the cover and then just put it in a little case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I did that for a Misfits record. I just like found like an image off whatever Google was back then and colored it in with colored pencils and made my own case.
Yo, my dad still does that. He goes to the library, burns the CD, and then photocopies the album title.
Fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Cover. I'm like, you could just, use Dream Spotify or something.
It's funny that you say a library, because like that made me think like how many computers nowadays don't have CD drives.
True.
Or like you're seeing less and less bands come out with CDs.
Absolutely.
I had to buy an external
fucking drive, like aftermarket, just specifically for it, and I just managed to keep it around forever.
For sure.
I actually I put up a bunch of my old like teenage years CDs on eBay, and I actually just sent one out this morning. It was a Atreyu the Curse, but it was the one that had the Victory Records compilation, like right. bonus disc.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so I think that's probably what they were after. But it, like a lot of people are. I think it was like $12 or something.
Oh, right on.
No, nothing crazy, but I have noticed kind of like an uptick in people kind of lurking their way back to physical media and CD specifically.
Well, I think it's because tapes now are more popular, so they're becoming more expensive.
Yeah.
Vinyl,
slowly. Well, yeah, vinyl, but that's implied at this point. So tapes, like, they were kind of the cheapest for a while, and then, I don't know, they gained popularity again, and now I see people buying, like, $30, $40 tapes.
Ooh, that's funny you mentioned that, because we just released our discography on tape.
I seen that.
Yeah.
Tapes are fun. Tapes are fun to me. Like putting EPs out on them, I think that's cool. I just wouldn't get a full, like, if I have the option to get a full album, obviously.
Right.
But
well, for EPs it makes sense because they have a low turnaround time. You don't have to like have it in production for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's not as much cost into it. So, like, you release an EP, you can be like, okay, well, I released it, last week. I got the physicals in a week, like, shipped out already. You can pre-order it or whatever off the website.
Yeah, we did our first EP on vinyl, which is only 3 songs. And, man, that was a lot of money, which, we're all vinyl heads. And
yeah, that was
wanted all on vinyl, but it's so expensive for a band like us to do that,
Did you do a
12 inch or a 7?
7.
7, oh, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, that, you should have done it on a 7 if you didn't.
Right, right. Probably.
And that was like peak when it was like so hard to get, like in general. Like it took us a while to even find somebody to be able to press it.
Yeah, like during the pandemic and stuff.
Yeah.
Right after. Yeah.
How many copies are there?
Oh man,
we got a ton.
we've been selling them like at shows. Like, we'll sell at least like maybe 5, depending the show. But I think we pressed a lot.
Oh right, so you still have them? You're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, kind of bring maybe like 20 with us to shows, and then over time we'll just fill up whenever.
They're using them for like seat cushions and stuff in the video.
Right. But you got to get, the sleeve, the plastic, the artwork. Like it's a whole thing.
Yeah. We had to buy everything separately. So we did like sleeves, like through one company, the print with another, and then the vinyl from the pressing company.
And then just did it old school and put it all together at home.
Yeah. We assemble them all.
That's cool.
Yeah, that saves a lot of money, though, like not having it packaged.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess you guys would definitely know that.
Yeah, I'm looking. I see the 7-inch now. I didn't see it before. I guess I wasn't looking for it, though.
I saw the tapes. I think that I like the tape things. I think that shit's cool. Like I said, because it's just like your EPs.
Yeah, they turned out really sweet. We like the colors of them and all that,
Yeah, we tried to do, if we ever did press the others on vinyl, they would kind of like match with the tape too. The second one turned out really cool because it's like the pink cover and the actual tape is like electric blue, but I'm like a sucker for that color combo anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that is like a very Miami Vice combination.
Yeah.
I love it. I never thought I would be in a band that release cassettes, you know, like being my age, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you feel like you're going backwards.
Yeah, but it's cool, man. It's
yeah. Shout out to Morg. I'm probably gonna say this wrong. Morg Filter Productions, who put them together. He like did them like super quick turnaround, and they turned out awesome.
He delivered to our show and threw down too.
Yeah,
so, shout out.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, that's what's up.
So the latest EP, The Decay of a Failed Creation, that was out be May 3rd, if I got that right.
Somewhere around there. It's been in maybe a couple weeks now.
Shit, that's been like a month.
Oh, no, it's
now.
Longer than that. Yeah.
Oh, damn. I lose track of time.
April 26th.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Damn.
On Apple Music, it says May 3rd.
See, we released it on Bandcamp, and then we released it on everything else. So gotcha. It's kind of confusing, but it feels like it's been out for a while.
Yeah, you know? Like you get so excited.
A while or what?
So it's been approaching for 2 months now. But,
oh
I mean,
yeah,
you guys have been probably playing like the songs for it at shows for a while now.
For sure, and we've been sitting on it for a while, you know, and it's just been there, just sitting on it. And we're like, all right. We got to release this, you know, like we're just so anxious for people to hear it, you know?
Yeah. You get so excited for like when the release comes, and then when like a little bit of time passes, you're like, huh, what?
Right.
I've always wondered what it felt like to release an album, probably the same as like releasing a sweet podcast episode, but maybe different. I don't know.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Same.
I think this one we were like super excited for because this was kind of like the first record where there was like totally new songs that we all did together, because some of the songs, I mean, there is like one or two on the new one where they've had those songs, Sean and Adam, our guitarist and drummer, they've had those songs for like well over like 10 years, and they've probably been playing. I mean, they evolved like over time. And when we have this group together, they've kind of beefed it up a bit. This one was really, you know, cool to do because it really featured some newer ones too.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, we really set out to do something really heavy this album and really fast too. And I feel like we kind of nailed that in a sense of our previous records. You know, we kind of really set out to we want to do this album, and I think we're all really happy with it. So.
Yeah, we definitely experimented with the second one, and we kind of went backwards to like the roots, especially because like Wheel Rot was like when I first heard of them, they were just like super fast, kind of convergy, just kind of they had a little bit of weird parts, but yeah, mainly just fast and like in your face, and it definitely reflects in this one.
A lot of punk too influences back then.
It is very fast from. Definitely.
It does have like a very, me and Jeremy were talking about this before we started, like an early 2000s Trustkill sound for sure.
Man, we actually gotten that before.
Yeah, we've gotten that comment before. And like sometimes when there's, you know, somebody like familiar with that time frame, they'll like come up to us afterwards. And they're like, yo, you have like some, you know, fair records or Trustkill, you know, inspirations here and there.
We love. I mean, we love those beans.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
I wasn't saying it as a bad thing. I just, it reminded me, like,
oh, no, yeah.
When you hear it, you're like, shit, did this come out in 2001?
I love the comments like that. And that's pretty much like a bulk of what I grew up on.
Me too. We're similar in age, so we grew up on the same stuff.
We're the two youngest. And then Sean probably has, you know, influence from, you know, his writing style. He comes from that era because he was in Bloodline Calligraphy.
So what did you guys come up on then? Like, what were some of your influences as far as writing, playing, you know, music or lyrics?
Do you want to go first, Aaron? Or
no, you can go
first. Yeah, okay. yeah, pretty much. I mean, we all have, you know, different tastes and backgrounds, and then, you know, crosses over here and there, and it works. It's like a perfect blend that works out between the four of us. And I would say, I mean, my influences always were, you know, the Trustkill bands, the the core bands from Victory, Ferret. There was one in like Florida too. Eulogy Records.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, like Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
like, yeah. Go on.
I was just saying it's very like metalcore, from that era for sure.
Until the end. Now they're all dumping into my brain. It's
yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Poison the Well.
Poison the Well. Who are playing Riot Fest, by the way? That's insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Glad to see them still doing something. Yeah, we're all like, me and Trevor mainly are like metalcore guys. I like a lot of hip hop. I like tech death. I like, you name it. You know, it's all over the board.
Yeah. The older I got, it my like palette definitely it's literally everything now, because I don't know if that has to tie in with like what I do for a career, but like being able to hear any type of genre of any band or musician like definitely helps too, because a lot of my favorite stuff now isn't even like heavy or fast.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Like I know both of us, that's like kind of the reason of the podcast is to bring other music to light, right? And I can totally vouch for the same thing. Like I was pretty narrow-minded until like, you know, I hit maybe my late 20s, you know, and then I was like, oh shit, like
it's a whole nother world.
Yeah,
out
yeah
there.
Like I felt like, you know, I had to admit I was wrong, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I was exactly
cool.
The same way.
We just, I guess basically we just like playing the music, at least for me. You know, I like seeing people beat the shit out of each other from a riff I created, you know?
Yeah,
like,
definitely. If you can, like, make somebody that
it's
crazy
energetic.
Just by ringing out, man, it's fucking awesome.
Right, right.
Yeah, I like playing heavy music for sure, too, because, like, just getting on stage, even if you're playing to, like, two people, like, for me, it's kind of like a release, and I can just go buck wild. 100%. And give them like a show, because like in real life I guess I'm pretty you know, quiet, shy, conservative, keep to myself a little, but like once I'm on stage I'm like a totally different person and kind of helps.
Fuck yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
You put your crazy pants on stage.
Yeah
I like that, like going back to like growing up to like those bands from that era too, like I've always like, the first time I saw the Dillinger Escape Plan live, even if it was like a video on YouTube, like I was like, I want to be this crazy.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I went to shows locally when I was like 12 years old. And one of the first shows I seen was Bloodline Calligraphy, and they're like hometown heroes where I come from. And I had to stand on chairs, dude, because the crowd was so wild, and like I knew right then and there that's what I wanted to do.
So
then
you're from Yipsy then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we all have Born like ties to Ypsilanti and like Bloodline too.
There was actually like kind of a scene here, you know, like we like a few of us got straight up Ypsy metal tattooed on us, you know. Probably
fucking dope.
Yeah, like 15 of us, maybe.
Damn.
Yeah, I feel like Ypsilanti had a
to the
huge scene.
Metal Oh, yeah. They love it, man.
And
it's always a good time.
Yeah, Ypsilanti still goes pretty hard, too. Like, I mean, some of the people that are still there, like, they don't really venture out too much. But, like, if you play in Ypsilanti, they're going to show up no matter what kind of band's playing. And, like, every show we've ever played in Ypsi, like, they sell out every single time, and it's just everyday people coming together. It's not like, you know, kids that go to shows, you know, all the time. It could be just somebody walking down the street, but they're coming in the door to check it out.
That's fucking great, man.
So I think Ypsilanti gets overlooked a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Well, they
nowadays.
We had, like I said, the venue I went to when I was like 12, man, like Black Dahlia played there, Evergreen Terrace, like you said, Poison a Well, Leaning Through, like we talked about.
Yeah,
like the list goes on, man.
Yeah, they've had their fair share of venues come and go too,
for sure.
Yeah, I noticed when I was scrolling through your Instagram the other day that you guys played the This Is Love, This Is Murderous Bleeding Through show, and I think you were talking to Jeremy about it before we started.
Mm-hmm.
He said you didn't see him, right, Jeremy?
No, because they played in the Pike
the
room.
Other side.
Yeah. No, not it's not even the, not other the other side, side. But it was, I'm like my first time Majestic. There. I couldn't find it, and then I finally found it as Suffer No Fools was playing, so I got to catch them, and then and the bands were overlapping each other. It was strange.
Mm-hmm.
So since you guys kind of grew up on that, what was that like getting to play a show like in the same venue on the same bill as those guys?
Oh man.
Oh yeah, we're big Bleeding Through fans, and
yeah.
Like, I got those, go on.
I got a Bleeding Through tattoo, and yeah, that's like one of my top three was like Orange County bands. It was Bleeding Through, Throwdown, and 18 Visions.
Oh, those first three Throwdown records are so fucking good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what Throwdown when I was in like junior high probably got me into it, led me to a lot of other bands for sure. I never really like stayed on them though. Like it was almost like once I found all the other bands, I forgot about them.
For sure.
But every just now that. And then I hear the name thrown around and I'm like, oh yeah, fucking Throwdown.
For me, once they switched singers and when Dave went from guitar to singing, Dave Peters, and I just fell off for me, man. I liked it the other way, I guess.
Yeah, I think I heard the switch just because I fell off.
Like... Right, right. Well, it's like, you know, you're not straight edge, I guess, and you weren't like, it's like mosh music too, you know?
Yeah. But you guys have been playing quite a few shows. I know I'm friends with Bill from Illmatic, and he sent me a couple of the show flyers for upcoming shows the other day, and I seen you guys.
Oh, yeah, he was just at the Metal Frat one. He did photos.
Yeah. He was telling me that. I was talking to him yesterday, actually. I told him we were talking with you guys today, and he said you were all real cool. But he sent me pictures for the October show and for the July show. And that's like the debut Painted Graves show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I think I've seen their name like maybe twice on other shows, but I don't know if it was just like testing, you know, getting the.
I think they played a birthday show like the same day as Tied okay. Down.
Oh, that's a hard day.
Yeah, yeah. They said it still went well, but it was like a.
There was a few bands I know of, including Suffer No Fools, that I think they had to play a show that day.
The same day as Tied Down?
Yeah, I believe so.
I thought Suffer No Fools played like the night before. But maybe they did play one the day of too. There were so many shows announced that weekend that I lost track of.
It was pretty insane.
But I guess debut outside of like a friend's fucking backyard or whatever that birthday party was.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
sure.
Like this is a Parts and Labor debut, so... But yeah. I just seen the file had like a, or the photo had a, like a Pulp Fiction background and then had Painted Graves big on there.
I saw some of those at the
you guys
Metal
weren't
Frat.
On that one. You're on the other one with Dogs of War.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened to
that one's
the
in
other
October? Right? October with the dogs.
Yeah. Hang on a second though. The other guy.
Got oh out. Yeah. I just got a message. I think he lost connection.
Yeah. We can wait for him.
It's not a Zoom call unless somebody loses connection at least once.
Yeah.
Fucking A, dude. It ain't work, dude.
So true.
Yeah, we were just talking about upcoming shows.
Right on.
Go ahead.
Oh, we're real excited. We're playing Ipsy on the 5th Friday. We're pretty excited about that. It's our boy's Love Loss's last show. We played a lot of shows with them. I pretty much like grew up playing music with them here in Ipsy, and so it should be a banger.
We're familiar with
that.
Love Loss.
Yeah,
July 5th.
Yep, yeah. July
yep.
5th.
Yep,
that's the one that's got the Undertaker on it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Trevor
yeah,
does.
I put that together.
Good job.
Trevor does. Trevor does all of our flyers.
Do you do the merch designs too?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I do graphic design for work. So
oh, nice.
It just goes hand in hand to do it for the band too.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Michigan shirts were dope, dude.
I like the Pistons, bear. The 90s Pistons. Oh, yeah. Shirt. That's fucking yeah. sweet.
Yeah, the Grant Hill.
It's kind of funny, too, because like sometimes we make shirts where like we're really excited about them, but then like nobody else like gets it or they don't like it. I mean, we sell a ton of merch. Like merch has funded pretty much everything that we've ever done. I think we paid for the tapes out of pocket, but I mean, out of, you know, however long years we've been a band, like we put a lot into merch and having a variety. And that kind of comes from, you know, like Sean always saying, like, you know, being on the road with Bloodline, like the way to make money is having like a ton of merch.
Definitely. When I was at Tied Down, and I'm not going to mention the band, but at the hotel I was staying at, the band was eating breakfast, and I could overhear them talking about what colors and what shirts sell in different demographics and blah, 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 blah. And it sounded so like a fucking board meeting.
Like a corporate meeting.
And you just said it, where you're like, we just make shit that we like, and that's what it's supposed to be. So I just, yeah. you know, I
everything.
I just want to say that and I'm done.
The funniest, everything. I think the funniest, like we get this experience every single time, besides like a few people who like do know. But we did a coal chamber rip, and a lot of people will say, because we have like that their smiley face logo like on the back, and then we have it like in the O for rot. A lot of people will like come up and they're like, is that like all that the TV show, or like they think it's like something to do with like electronic music, and it's never about Coal Chamber.
That's funny. Never. I've actually never met anybody that was like, I fucking love Coal Chamber. Like
you never will.
Yeah. Well, there might be two here right now.
Trevor. I mean, I that was like nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, new metal we grew up on and stuff, you know.
Yeah, before I got into any type of like hardcore or metalcore, like new metal was my entire life. And Coal Chamber, like I remember getting Coal Chamber CDs at Circuit City and stuff. And we do a Coal Chamber cover here and there, and it always goes over everybody's head.
The only song I can even think of right now is the Roof is on Fire thing that they did.
Yeah, see, I was like, I wasn't, I never really got into them.
That's the only song I can think of. I'm trying to think of another one.
We still end our sets with like a 10-second bit of a Coal Chamber riff.
That's fucking awesome, though.
Yeah. and nobody knows ever.
Nobody. Or will. Until now, maybe.
Yeah, now they're all gonna know. You just gave away the secret sauce,
right? We're kind of like a jokey band, you know. Like Trevor's a juggalo, and we make juggalo merch, you know.
Whoop whoop,
yep, whoop whoop. Yep. almost every show, Trevor gives out a whoop whoop, and we get a great response.
yeah, it went over super well at when we played that one house, the Voodoo House.
Yeah. Southwest. Voodoo House.
I loved playing there. I want to play there again.
A lot of juggalos.
Yeah.
Do you have a Hatchet Man tattoo?
I don't, but maybe not yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just curious. Just wondering what your dedication was.
Save that for like when you're like 70 and you're just like, fuck it, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's on your way out. Do it right on the side of your face.
Oh, man.
We met Violent J not too long ago.
Yeah, we actually did. Yeah, we we went to see Alien Ant Farm in Wyandotte because there's like a new venue down there, and it's pretty cool actually. It's pretty much like a smaller Crowfoot, and I think Alien Ant Farm was probably like one of the bigger bands that's come through there so far. But yeah, he was just Violent J was just like chilling out with the people, you know, he didn't have no rock star like attitude or anything.
Yeah,
he was
I heard
taking
he's
pictures.
Pretty normal. Like,
yeah, he was taking pictures. And, yeah, my buddy's girlfriend and him like took shots with him or something. Yeah, crazy. he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was he wearing his clown face?
That was my next question.
No. It was kind of weird to see him without it. But yeah, he was just totally normal, and he had a huge like chain though. Like even in the dark of a venue, like that thing was shining.
Shit. Someday, dude. Someday.
Watch us pull up with big ass noise avocation chains.
Fucking
like
right,
told you.
Yes. Yes.
Fucking spinning.
We get one for John Brandon. Like, hey, dude, we ripped your logo. Here
yeah,
you go.
Dude. Yep. Great idea.
But before we were talking, you guys said that you played a show with Knocked Loose like a couple years ago.
Oh.
I wanted you to save the story so we could actually have it on air.
Yeah, so it wasn't with We Will Rot. I was in an older band called Downcast. It was kind of short-lived.
I remember Downcast, but I never heard of Downcast. Go
yeah,
ahead,
we apparently there was like an older band too with that same name, and I mean the band just kind of like fizzled out over time. But yeah, one of the shows we did do was with Knocked Loose at the Sanctuary when it was at the church when the church was like first starting, and they were touring with the name's probably gonna escape me, but they were from like New York. And it was freezing cold.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. I mean, New York, I mean, there's hundreds of bands, probably thousands. But yeah, we played with them. There was probably like 12 people there. And I think it was their first tour. It was their first time in Michigan.
12 people.
Damn.
And yeah, there was not a lot of people there. And they were playing that, I think, you know, a couple of songs from that record. I think they were a four piece at the time. Not a lot of people were like super into it. Obviously it was probably just like seeing them for the first time, so you just get that reaction of just watching.
Yeah, taking it in.
Yeah. And yeah, they were, it's just crazy to kind of see, you know, that firsthand experience of like then and now, and just, I mean, they totally deserve it, and they're like doing all the right things, and I'm glad it's working out for them. But it's just kind of funny, like back then.
And that was just a couple of years ago, right?
I want to say, when did you live at that apartment, Aaron?
It was like 8 years ago.
Eight years? Yeah,
for some
something
reason,
like that.
I thought somebody said a couple, but when earlier when you were about to say it, I was just walking back in, so I caught like the
yeah. I seen them a couple years ago at the Sanctuary.
That was it. That's what I mentioned.
And
up.
Yeah,
and I think the cap's like 250, and then 2 years later we see them where Ty Down is in the Russell Industrial, and that was sold out real quick, 2,000 people.
Yeah,
it's that's just crazy. Pretty impressive to go for.
It's
in
pretty
2 years.
Crazy. Yeah, exactly. But you know,
yeah, I mean, even that with 200 to 2,000, yeah, that's a big ass jump.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, if you're like, I mean, they're up there streaming with like Taylor Swift and stuff. Which
yeah, I heard that
for like 10 years, 10 or 12 years.
I don't know. I've never, you know more than I do. I've never been
remember.
Into them.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, I didn't care myself. Like I said, I didn't care too much for the for the newer album, but Different Shade of Blue, that was pretty good.
I kind of liked that one a little bit more. But I mean, overall, to me, in my opinion, like it's for me, it's hard to like sit and listen to them, especially like on repeat.
Right.
Maybe like once in a while, but like they're like 100% a band I would see like live, because I feel like live they're probably, it's like a way different experience of like what they're doing.
Yeah, because it's like the music's very like intense, full of energy. So I feel like that would resonate better live than just like trying to chill on your couch.
Right.
And that music's designed or played for crowd participation. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, you know, like hardcore, metalcore, metal, certain bands are just They're
yeah,
just
they definitely cover
the
all the bases.
I can't listen to it for a long time either because, like, the vocals, man, like, they're great and they stick out, you know, and it's great, but, like, it's just a one-trick pony for me.
Right, you know?
I kind of like that it is different just because it's kind of like
stands out.
Yeah. You'll remember it for sure. And it always reminded me of, like, the Warriors.
Because
the Warriors kind of had, like, a vocalist that was...
Go ahead.
I thought I caught you off.
No, you're good.
The Warriors kind of had, like, a higher-pitched vocalist, too, that was very similar.
Yeah, it's very, like, immediately identifiable.
Oh, yeah.
I think it benefits. I tried, but wasn't it. But it is crazy to see how big they've gotten to stream with Taylor Swift and shit. Like, that's huge for a hardcore band.
It makes us, you know, it sets us up in the future, you know. Maybe puts more eyes on this style of music.
Most definitely, dude. It's crazy how much everything has been blowing up over the last couple of years, really.
Dude, like, we just played the Metal Frat on Friday, and I couldn't believe how many, like, younger kids came out. Like,
I'm talking,
like, probably in high school still, you know, barely getting in, 18 years old, making me feel old.
But that's when we got in it, man. You know, most people, it's like when you're a teenager, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're so influenced at that age.
That's great to hear that.
Oh, dude, it is great to see, for sure. It just caught me off guard, but once again, we played a frat, so why did it, you know?
Yeah, even like a lot of young, you know, kids are starting bands too, which is really cool to see as well. So I remember there was like a time where there was just like a handful of like local bands. Well, like, I guess I should say maybe like 2006, 10, you know, that era. There was a ton of bands. Then it kind of like really died down, and there was like maybe five that you knew of. And then it was just like completely dead for a while, I thought. And now it's just booming.
Yeah, it's like COVID helped in a way, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I see a new band like every week now.
It made everybody angry and want to punch stuff.
Yeah, I dig it. I love the time that we're in as far as that goes, because there's just so much.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
It definitely contributes, and I think playing mixed bills helps too, because it kind of just shows other styles of music to those people who probably normally wouldn't go see them to begin with. But then that just brings more people as well.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, like we prefer and play like a lot of mixed bills when we can.
It does better for everybody to be on a mixed bill, really, because if you have some band like that's some like old school legacy band and you're an up and coming band, then you might get a portion of people that are like, fuck these guys, like they ain't real or something. So
yeah,
it probably works better, honestly.
Especially like we're a metal core band.
Yeah.
And there's not many metalcore bands,
depending on who you ask.
Exactly. And we stick by it 100% because that's what we are, you know. But like I said, you know, it's hard to play with just strictly hardcore bands, and it's hard to play with strictly just metal bands, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And we've done both too. And
we've done both.
It's been like either good or bad. Every band has a bad show, or just like a bad experience, but
we'll play with indie band and it'll just be a banger of a show, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorites that sticks out in my mind was the 2022, when we played at Ziggy's in Ipsy. We played with, I think, like two indie bands and one hardcore band. And it was insane how well that show went.
Well, it was all
surprises you.
Well, it was an all local show as well. Like all these bands that did perform were all from Ipsy, and we all know each other. We love each other's music, you know. No matter what style we play, it just always works well.
Yeah, that's fucking cool, man.
we like grew up playing in other bands and stuff and just always supporting each other, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of reminds me of, I shared a flyer with Aaron today. Cause they used to throw, they would call them field shows in Ipsy, straight up DIY festivals. And it was as mixed as you can get. It was everything from rap, even like artists painting pictures.
Oh man, we had food trucks, we had artists, we had two stages,
yeah,
fire and blowers.
We're gonna have me to and Aaron talk later. I gotta steal some ideas from you guys.
Me and Aaron were in two different bands at that time, and We Will Rot was playing as well. And it's kind of funny thinking about it, like it all three of our bands kind of combined.
That is
cool. But yeah, that's enough, like all those field shows. Like we did one in Halloween, and we had Demolisher play, and I remember the vocalist kind of, he reached out recently and he was like, we still talk about that show.
That's awesome.
So before we start to like get too close into time here, I did want to ask like a couple things about the EP itself. One being, like, we were talking about vocals. So Aaron, your vocal style is, do you layer your stuff, or is there somebody doing backup vocals too? Because you have like two different screams going on at certain points.
Yeah, so that's all me on the record.
Sorry, Trevor, not Aaron. I was looking at Aaron's name.
Yeah, that's all me on the record. And you know, most of it is just like one track, or you know, certain parts have like double layers and just to enhance the sound a little bit. We are trying to do live, we're gonna probably incorporate like Aaron, Sean, and I, just to maybe just try it out and see how it sounds. But even live, like, that's all me.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I just like when you're listening to it, you can hear two kind of, it almost reminds you of like Black Dahlia Murder when they have that like high pitched scream versus the lower, lower guttural. But I know they had backups.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that too, because like when I first wanted to be in a band and was learning how to do vocals, I was screaming into a comb in my bedroom to the Black Dahlia Murder.
Yeah, you were trying to be Trevor, and you were Trevor the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, for real. Their new song's great.
Yeah, I met him. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I never got to meet him, but I had seen like lots of interviews and videos and shit with him, and he seemed like a real cool guy. I remember seeing like a video one time where he was showing his whole Yes collection. Like, I don't remember if it was CDs or records, but he was a huge Yes fan, and I was like, that's such a fucking random man for him to be.
Yeah, he really promoted. So cool. Go on.
Oh, I was gonna say, that's what's so cool about like people in these like crazy fucking death metal, black metal, technical, whatever kind of like metal, angry, and then it's like, yeah, dude, Yes, or like
everybody's got to chill at some point.
They're like fucking,
oh yeah,
into Wings, what? Or just like, who knows? It's just totally different. You know what I mean? I love it.
Nobody's into Wings.
My old lady loves Wings. Dude.
Really?
I don't mind.
I love Hot Wings, but not Paul McCartney Wings.
I don't fuck with Hot Wings.
I just think you get so just tired of like heavy music, you know, like it just like it's always been there and it's always in my head. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You like just, you need a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep it different, you know?
Oh yeah. It's all art, man. You have to experience it all, you know?
So, Aaron, were you always a bass player, or were you a guitar player previously in other bands, or did you kind of get stuck with that? Like, I feel like people don't show the bass players love.
Never was a bass player. I've played several different instruments, vocals, guitar, drums, and other bands. Never bass.
So, We Will Rot's the first bass project, then?
Correct.
Okay.
He does a great job. Like,
what do you think of it?
I actually found a whole new appreciation with it, and I actually probably like playing bass the most now. But like, these guys rip. They're really good musicians, you know, and it kind of like, it just fit at the time.
Yeah.
And I really just enjoy, you know, like I'm basically a second guitar player.
Yeah, you're like the glue that holds the band, the rhythm.
Yeah,
together.
I always say I'm like the balls of the band. You know,
yeah.
You got your backbone. You got your tone. You know.
Yeah.
Sean and Adam has definitely made us both like way better musicians too.
100%, man. These guys really know their shit. They've been playing since they're infants. shout out Adam Cheat. He went to Berkeley. He was giving out drum lessons when he was 13 years old. Sean's been touring since he was a kid, you know, and
it comes off in the EP, man. I mean, it musically, technically, it's like super tight, you know?
Yeah, no, the songs are constructed really well. Like,
I remember when I first joined, I haven't done vocals in like a really long time because I took quite a break with music in general and just being in bands. And I remember like one of the first practices I went to, I was like, you guys need to slow down. Like, I'm not that fast. But over time, I was able to, I eventually, you know, able to keep up and like learn their style. And yeah, they definitely have made both of us.
They don't need to practice. They don't need to practice.
Yeah. We don't practice often, really.
Not at all.
Like we probably practice once before a show and maybe twice a month if we have the time.
It's just like you guys know your instruments so well that it's, you don't
they
need
do.
To.
Right. Yeah,
that's why I will always say that too. Nah, I do practice by myself. I do.
Yeah.
But
well, that's
it's just
that's
they
still
don't.
Practicing.
Like seriously, they can probably not play the song for months and just nail it right off the
Yeah, and they're in like other bands too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when that's almost like muscle memory. Like when you're doing it that often and for that long, you just start to. I mean, they just flow out of you.
Yeah,
that's how I am with vocals and like lyrics. Like right now, I probably can't tell you a single lyric, but when I'm playing, like I know every single one.
Right, right.
That was gonna be my question because I couldn't find unless you can tell me where they are posted, but I couldn't.
Oh
find
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. They're so we were gonna put them on Spotify, but. You have to pay monthly to have lyrics up, but so we were just like, nah, not, we ain't gonna do that.
Totally get that.
But they are available on Bandcamp. I think there's like a little lyrics button, and they just like collapse, and they should show up.
I always forget to check Bandcamp on things. I'm just so used to using Apple Music that I just like, oh, it's not on there, and then I'm like, oh. I forgot. Like, and then they're like, it's on Bandcamp. And I'm like, oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah, we just made a Bandcamp for this record. And it was suggested from Adam, our drummer, because
there's
his other band
only use Bandcamp. Like, we've talked with people that have like extensive libraries in there. And they're like, yeah, that's all I do is like scroll through Bandcamp. If I like a band, I buy it, download it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, part of it is like they're like, discovery page is like a lot better and
the fact that it mostly goes to the musicians and the band like that is a big thing too
too, you know. It gets around on Bandcamp for some reason.
It's like the it's like the new version of DatPiff basically.
Well, I haven't heard that one.
No,
I never heard
I like
that one
too. But yeah, like DatPiff was like that was the shit back then.
Wow. Yeah.
So another thing about the EP, did you guys do all the recording like in a studio in Michigan somewhere? Did you go outside of Michigan? Did you do it in home or what?
Do you want to take it, Aaron?
You
want me to?
You
do?
Can.
All right. So. We recorded with a friend of ours, Tim Trevino. He runs a studio called Fractured Audio. Insane engineer. He's all like self-taught. He just gets better and better. He did our second record. So if you like compare the second one to the latest one, like you can hear like a huge difference. And he being like a friend of ours too, it's like really easy to work with him. And he has his own studio out of his basement. He built like his own insane studio. And like, I'm like, how do you do do this. He's recorded a lot of bands actually, and he does a lot of different genres, and he's always busy and he's always learning too. And so even if we like go back to him for like another one, it's probably going to sound even better.
That's cool, because he just doesn't stop. Engineer.
Yeah, 100%. He's the type of guy who just never stops learning and never stops. Like, he's just getting better and better and better.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the guy you want, not the guy that's just like, all right, fuck you, pay me.
Yeah, shout out, yeah, dude.
And I've been in a situation like that with other bands in the past, and you go in thinking you're going to, you know, put out your best material, but like in the end, it's like the working relationship, it's definitely shows through the record.
Yeah.
Very easy to work with too.
Oh yeah. Tim's. Yeah. He also does photography too, and he's insanely good at that as well.
That seems to go hand in hand, music and photography, with a lot of people.
Yeah, he ended up.
That's what he does for a living.
Yeah, he
that's
ended up he quitting his like office job. Now he just records and does photography full time.
Nice.
Which is sick.
Dude.
I fully,
for real,
agree with that.
I do record store full time, and I'm trying to incorporate podcast into there too.
Dude, we need more record stores. There's not too many that I know of, at least around us.
You guys have quite a few around you.
Well, oh, really?
It depends on where. I mean,
yeah.
Metro,
I'm just aware
Metro
of Dear,
Detroit area.
Yeah, I'm just aware of Dearborn Music, really.
Yeah, if you there's an app called Discogs, which if you're into records, you're probably familiar with. If you're not, get it.
Okay.
And there's a vinyl hub on there, and you can just search whatever area you're in, anywhere in the world, and it'll show you all the record stores.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I can think of, and I don't know if they're still there, but there were like 3 or 4 little ones just in like the Hamtramck area at one time.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them may or may not be there depending on how updated it is or whatever. But
Not anything like Dearborn.
Yeah,
I mean,
Dearborn's
the shit,
that's
but...
like, that's Michigan's amoeba, basically.
For real,
right? If not them, then Vertigo. But I think Dearborn's bigger. They have 2 stores, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I've seen their record store day orders. They order by the pallet.
Oh, like, well, damn.
I haven't hit a pallet yet.
I personally haven't gotten too much into like vinyl records, like purchasing them for myself, because I know as soon as I do, I'm going to go like balls to the wall and probably be in debt.
Oh, it's an addiction.
It is pricey. And especially if you're trying to hunt after like 2000s stuff, that can get up there in price if it hasn't been repressed.
Right. I'm kind of like a prude with that. Like, I don't buy used, and it is very pricey.
Yeah, it adds up. I mean, especially when you figure like $20 to $35 a record on average.
It's a funny story. Like, me and my roommate went on a Typo Negative box set, and that was like almost probably like $300.
Yeah, none more negative one.
Yeah, yeah. And we got it very early, earlier than some record stores, and I posted
online.
Did
you get all the right discs? Because I know there was a handful that had like 2 copies of Bloody Kisses or 2 copies of October Rust.
Wow, I didn't hear that actually.
Yeah, I don't remember how many, but I seen a bunch of them.
That's great. Yeah, we got it super early, and like people are like, how'd you get this? It's not supposed to come out for another week. I don't know how we got it early, but we did.
It's weird how that happens. Like, so as a store, when you get that stuff, if there's a release date, like, you cannot sell before the release date. Like, there's especially depending on the artist. Like, if it's Taylor Swift, sometimes they don't even let you post a picture of it the day before.
Wild.
Yeah, it's weird. But if you're doing online sales as, like, a website or a wholesaler or, like, you know, anything like that, you can sell as soon as you get it, because they're factoring like 5 to 8 days for handling time. So if you have it early, then they expect it to get there by release date. So there's like a gray area there.
Ah.
which is kind of annoying because, like, sometimes there's people that are like, hey, like, you have this today. I'm going to be gone tomorrow. Like, can I get it today? And, mm-hmm. you know, so, but they're like, well, this guy ordered it online and got it, like, ahead of time.
That sounds like me with Funko Pops.
Oh, you're a Funko Pop dude, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too crazy with it. I just try to get the ones that I like, but Funko now is they're just making a pop for literally everything. And
oh yeah, dude.
It's too crazy now. And like the ones I do like are old, so like people want $300, you know, each, and I'm just holy like maybe not.
Yeah, I've seen some of them be up there in price. I know Eeyore is worth like a shitload of money.
Like the only two that I have, like I have, I don't know, maybe 15 of them, but the only two that I have out are Iggy and Lemmy.
I have the full trio of Run DMC. I think.
Oh, I only like, have Jam Master Jay.
And I got Miles Davis. I think that's it.
Oh, Miles. I have Slayer.
I think Adam has some Iron Maiden ones.
My kid has a bunch of them. Iron Maiden ones. Three of them. That's when I stopped. I
think
I was like,
six
I'm done.
Of them now.
Yeah, there's six of them now. Yeah.
They probably do one for every record, I would imagine.
But I didn't get the Peace of Mind. The Peace of Mind one was the one that I didn't get.
Oh yeah.
And then I was just like, yeah, fuck this. This is going insane. Like you just said it, man. They make one for every. There's probably one of us somewhere. We just don't know it.
you can make your own custom ones. We could make Ryan and Jeremy Funkos.
Pre-orders coming tomorrow, dude.
So before we start to wrap things up, and one more thing, like what is you guys' plan like for the future of the band? Are you writing new music already, or you just plan to start doing as many shows as possible? Or
kind of both, man.
Yeah.
Like we consistently, as soon as we put out an album, we just want to keep writing. And what's the next best thing? You know, what should we do differently? And also, of course, play as many shows as we can anywhere. We would like to go short tours here and there. Shout out if anybody wants to look us anywhere out of town.
I think the farthest we've been is Cleveland, and that was actually really good. That one turned out really good.
Shout out to Cleveland.
Shout out.
I'll write you guys on the list, but I keep a list of like all the Michigan and Midwest area bands that we interview for Ramona at Black Iris, and I just send them to her. So,
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that would be a huge bonus.
Ramona kills it.
I'll definitely throw you on there. And one more thing. Well, I'll let you guys before I ask the question. You guys got anything else you want to add, say, plug, anything like that? They're like, what's the question?
I could probably shout out a few other bands who've been, you know, nothing but supportive. They're just like the realest, you know, bands, I think, in my opinion. Wounded Touch is one. Everything Evil, Ogemaw County. I think one of our first shows is this like formation was with Ogemaw County, and they're the coolest dudes ever. Sawchuck, trying to think, I'm like blanking now.
Love Lost.
Yeah. There's definitely like a, you know, a group of bands. I think.
Yeah. It's like, sorry if we missed you. You know who you are.
Yeah, for sure. And anybody that's just seen us in the last 2 to 3 years, you know, this band has been a band for a very long time, possibly 15 years, I think.
Yeah. I think they've been a band for 15 years, and we're like just now taking it serious.
we're the young bucks, and we're picking up
perfection. Takes time.
And maybe that's what they needed, man, was you guys to step in so you can fucking take it out and kill it.
Yeah. Break our necks, you know. We like doing that. But if you guys are in the area anytime, come see us. Come watch our guitar player and come watch our
drummer. It's funny. It's funny because usually when like people come up to us like after shows, it's like they're always like, dude, your drummer is insane, or like the tone, your guitar player's tone is crazy. So it's funny that
you're
they
just
get
standing there like, I'm a You got any compliments for me, you dick?
Yeah, it's fine. We love it. It's
yeah,
fun.
We love it. It's always funny how it's always the same one, though. Yeah, so we kind of made it like an inside joke for us.
So the question, it's nothing like crazy intensive or anything. We just always ask people this at the end of our episodes out of curiosity. And that is, what is something outside of the genre of music that you play, that you listen to, that people would not expect you to listen to?
Oh, man. I got to limit it to one?
No. Do they have to limit it to one?
I don't know. I was just going to make it harder.
I don't know, but I heard...
No, you don't have to limit it to
I've heard guests
ahead.
Say a couple of things that were like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, Dwayne had like fucking like 40 of them.
Anyway, go ahead, dude.
You go first, Aaron.
Okay. I love Typo Negative.
I already
like
expected that.
Yeah. So it's a weird thing that like hardcore, like except like that's a thing now, you know?
Yeah.
But
well, actually, I shouldn't say I expect it because Jeremy's not really a Typo Negative person.
No, not really.
Anyway, go ahead.
Are you still going, Aaron, or is that?
He might have cut out.
Oh, maybe he could disconnect it again.
Yeah, he must have.
All right. Well, if he did, I guess. Man, I've been listening today. I've kind of revisited CKY. I listened to a lot of CKY.
That's one of those bands that I never hear mentioned either, really. And they had some, like, a handful of great records, too.
Yeah, the Infiltrate, Destroy, Rebuild record. I think it's one of those very few records where it's very listenable front to back.
Yeah,
I agree. That
and
album's
I just,
great.
I just love the riffs because they're not, like, it's not really, like, riffs. They're just, like, a bunch of hammer-ons and pull-offs throughout the whole song, so it's like kind of weird too, but it just works.
Yeah, but the way they like kind of, I don't know, overly distorted everything, like it has like a cool sound to it, so the pull-offs and hammer-ons all worked right.
I did see that the because they like split, so now there's like the other band that's like I think it's called like 96 Bitter Beings, and he did a like a re-recorded version of that record because they like hate each other now or something. So there's like two different CKYs.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either,
but I haven't checked it out yet. The singer, left. And, so like the original CKY is the drummer and the other guitar player. And the other CKY is called 96 Bitter Beings.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up.
But I saw that come out on my Spotify, and I was like, I need to see what the 2024 version of that sounds like.
I can't imagine that they made it better.
I feel like a lot of bands are just re-recording old albums now, because like 18 Visions just did that.
Yeah, I noticed that.
But
I love it. Right. Sometimes you're a kid when you record it, you know.
For me, it depends what it is.
Because yeah, like if it's already great, don't fuck it up.
Exactly.
Oh, for sure. But if your whole band agrees on it, like, yo, we recorded this really low quality.
Yeah. Like, imagine if, like, fucking Iggy Pop tried to re-record or something.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop's an Ipsy guy, too.
Yes, he is.
Fun fact.
Well, welcome back, Aaron. Do you have?
I know. I have no idea what's going on.
You left off on Typo Negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, give us some of the songs or not dude, songs, I can, bands.
Dude, I can get down to Paramore. I'm sorry. Mariah Carey.
That's the shit we're looking
yes,
for.
Sir.
I'm a real big like hip hop guy too. Like, I really like Freddie Gibbs. He's up
Freddie's
there.
Dope.
Yeah, we love Freddie Gibbs.
Oh, man, he's great.
Chick, chick.
There's, 12.
There's going to be
Fuck
only
12.
A handful of people that just got that.
That's all right. You know, man, I like everything.
I've been into Aphex Twin a lot recently.
Yeah, they have like two albums that I like, and then a lot of the other stuff is kind of...
I tried, man.
You gotta.
You gotta
hear it on the right stereo. Is that that's the trick with that group? I think because like once you hear it like with some like real low end bass to it and some surround sound, then you're like, oh shit, this is cool. But like if you're just like trying to play it like in the car or something, it's just it's hectic as fuck.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of like. I listen to a lot of music when I'm like doing my design work for like other bands or like clothing companies and stuff. So that's usually what I go to is just like the weird ambient electronic noises because it helps me concentrate. So I don't know if I have like ADD or something or or what, but that's like my preference now and kind of what I've been leaning towards listening to in general.
Awesome. That is the we try to find the oddities and things like. That's why I wanted to get Aaron's Mariah Carey answer.
Yeah. I like, you know, Tunde, Stepdad. I like weird.
I don't know. Stepdad. Anything. I know Soccer Mommy.
Yeah. Anything that's just different out of the norm. I like. Yeah. I don't like the
everything to sound like a carbon copy of the next thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why we dig into so much shit too, and just being at the record store and stuff, you see all types of different things from.
Oh, for sure, you guys got it made, you know.
Yes, sometimes I like just going into Spotify and clicking like a totally random playlist.
Yeah,
and just
what's on there,
and just mm-hmm. letting it go.
Yeah, dude, that is a lot of fun.
And sometimes I've discovered like some stuff I listen to regularly now because of that.
Yeah. I've been tricked though, where they're like. Check, you know, suggestions for you, and I'm like, oh, this is so dope, and I thought it's, like, new, and then I look, and it's, like,
fucking
2002 or fucking whatever, you know? Like, oh, man.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too.
I love when my friends, like, send me shit, like, dude, you'll like this, you know what I mean? Like, that's the best kind of friend right there.
Yeah, fucking right.
Yeah, we were always doing that back and forth. That's why we were like, well, fuck it, we're gonna send this to everybody, podcast-wise.
Yeah. Hell I remember doing that with Pure Volume. I remember just sitting on Pure Volume all day and just sending people stuff through AIM.
But anyways, guys, we'll let you get going here, and we appreciate you taking the time and sitting and talk with us. It's been cool to talk to you.
Yeah, it was good meeting you.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, nice talking with y'all.
Yeah.
You too.
Later, dudes.
Y'all take care.
Later.